Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, Seattle sisters!
It's your virtual sisters, Bianca, aka Bibi.
Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
And your girl, Jenny from the pod. And welcome to another episode of She's in the Pod,
the safe space for millennial women,
where we meet bi-weekly to talk life, growth, and sisterhood.
Hello, ladies, and welcome Hello. Back to the episode of She's in a Pod. Yes. As you can see, today we are joined by a very special somebody.
A very, very special someone.
Yes, we've been meaning to get you on for...
It's been like a year.
Yeah, it actually has. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was during COVID.
When originally we wanted to try and get something in.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming.
But she's here and we're so excited.
Yes, we are. Do you want to say a quick intro?
Hi guys, my name is Hayley Mlanda. I'm a life liver.
A life liver.
You're a speaker, and that's all you have to say about your intro. Come on.
Do you know what the thing is? I think I've got to a place in my life where it's just so easy to kind of describe your life through your accolades. Yeah. And I think I've become so detached to a lot of the things I've accomplished. Right. Not because I'm not proud or anything, but it's just something I just don't want to find identity in anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I do speak, I do rap, I do all the stuff, but it's not who I am. If that makes sense. At the end of the day, I just love God. I just pray to live.
I love that, you know, because it's true. Like, normally, even when people ask me to introduce myself, I just tend to list all the stuff I've done rather than who I am as a person. Yeah. So that's really interesting. Yeah. I love
and it's,
that.
And it's true. It's like we've been molded to do that, because even me saying, go on, introduce yourself more, because obviously I know how much you've done. Yeah. Actually, sometimes you just want to just be you. Like, this is just me. Like, you went on your solo trip. You really are living your life.
Do you know the thing is? I think as well, because I started speaking from a young age, I found that I felt like imposter syndrome. It's an absolutely heavy thing, right? Yeah. Being a black woman, being young, like you're entering into these rooms, you have to prove yourself. So a lot of times I was trying to prove myself in my accolades. So I was kind of like, okay, yes, I've worked with Microsoft, I've been flown out here, done JP Morgan, worked with whatever. I just used to list names, clients, drop, like whatever I would do. But then it never really validated that I was... It never really validated me, if that makes any sense. And I think society always tells you, like, the only way you're going to be validated is if you name drop. If you basically talk about what you've done. But a huge thing for me is integrity. Like, more than anything, like, I don't really care what you've accomplished. Do you live your rap? Like, do you live a life, I guess, not worth honouring, but I guess worth respecting. So for me, it's the person who I am offline. Like, there's Hayley Mlanda, the brand, but there's Hales. I think for me, when it comes to like just where I am in my life, I just want to show more of Hales. Because Hayley Mlanda is not, don't get me wrong, like Hayley Mlanda is still lit, but it's been a brand. It's my personal brand. Even though it is my name, it's not really like,
you
as me,
we get that.
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah,
love that. Okay, so we were talking a bit before we started recording. So I really wanted to find out. I mean, I already get a gist of how you guys met, but we wanted to kind of explain how we each came across you.
Oh, maybe. Okay,
yeah. But before that, this or that.
This or that, back. Yes.
This okay. game, that. And then we're going to play a quick game. Have you heard of this or that?
No.
Okay.
This good?
I know, because when you look like nervous, I'm just like, no. So we're just going to ask you to choose between two things.
Okay, cool.
You literally have half a second to choose, so don't think too hard. Instagram or Twitter?
Twitter.
Going out or staying in?
Staying in.
Big or small wedding?
Medium.
That wasn't even an option.
Literally. But I get you.
Okay, big then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beard or height?
Beard or height?
it's
my fiance's like, he's not that tall, but he's got a beard. Mm. Well, do you know when he started growing a beard? That's when I started looking at him differently.
Yeah. Really?
It's
a
beard. It's a beard. It's a beard. It's a beard. I did it.
All right, Jen, go on.
What's next? Wizkid or Burna Boy?
Ooh.
And
Wiz.
Wiz.
Yeah, cool. Wizkid.
Yeah. Okay, I'm interested to hear this one. Plantain or plantain?
Plantain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm African.
Thank you. Love it.
I had a feeling you'd say that, but you know, you just never know. People surprise us.
Okay. Podcast or YouTube?
Podcast.
Love that. Vacation or girls trip?
Oh, girls trip.
Yeah.
Aww. Even though I love my bae, we haven't done a vacation before. To be honest, I haven't done a girls trip either. But the girls, I get it, get it.
And get it, yes.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Love that. Love that.
Love that. So that's that. Okay. So, did you want to, since you already started talking about it,
so the
how
first
did you
time
first come across Hayley?
I came across you, it was definitely online. It was like through social media. But then I think the first time I actually saw you was when you came to speak at my church and we were just speaking about that. So it was, it was like a mental health conference or something. We were doing like a one-off service. And I remember we were like, who should we get to come in? And then your name came up. We did research and we were like, yeah, let's get Hayley. And it was amazing. And I love how you and my mum clicked as well, because she's a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And she works with mental health people. So, well, not daily, but that's her specialty. That's what she studied. So, yeah, it was just a beautiful moment. And I said, wow, this girl's gifted.
Wow.
And that was like, how many years ago now?
I think like 2017 or 2018.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a while ago. Yeah, that was my first like real life encounter of Hayley.
Nice. Yes. Love that. So for me, it was many years ago. I think, when did I go to uni? 2015. I saw you on socials.
Wow.
You had a book.
Wow.
That came out as well. I think was it ABC?
ABC Student Success, yeah.
Yes, ABC's.
What, as in your own book that you write?
Yeah, she's an author.
I wrote a book when I was 18.
Uh-huh.
So how did I not know this?
Yeah. I kind of regret it. But we'll talk more about it.
Okay. We'll delve into that.
So, so I came across you via that, and I was part of my ACS at university, and we really wanted to get you on because I think, so I was a careers officer, so I can't remember what kind of event I wanted to do. But I don't think we ended up getting you on it, but you were definitely, I think we did like a presentation or something like that, and we added you amongst the people who were kind of inspirational and, you know, the stuff that you were doing at the time. And then since then, I started following you.
Wow.
And I think we've maybe seen each other at maybe one or two events since then. But yeah, just everything that you were doing in terms of your public speaking was inspiring me as well to go into it.
Mm.
You were one of the first people to inspire me to go into that avenue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was something that I wanted, but I never had the confidence to do so. So seeing you, you know, talk about your journey and, you know, doing all the amazing things like you've spoken in different places. You're an international public speaker. So yeah, that's kind of what inspired me, and that's how I came across you. And since then I've just been following you, girl. I've been stalking you, and just, just like,
oh my god,
yeah, super inspired by everything that you do. Yeah. So
that's actually amazing.
Years.
Yeah. I'm so touched. I mean, I would definitely say, I was actually saying to my fiance on the way here, like, you know, She's in a Pod is probably, I would say, one of the top three podcasts I have a lot of respect for.
Thank you.
Yeah. That means
you
a lot.
You guys, Two My Sisters, and Redefining Wealth with Patrice Washington.
Okay.
Redefining Wealth with Patrice, because Patrice is my mentor.
Okay.
So I would always like think, but you guys are Two My Sisters. I mean, Courtney and Renee are my girls as
Yeah,
well.
I love them. They are doing absolutely, like, they are smashing it. They have created their own lane. And I love the fact that they haven't tried to mold into the click. Because, you know, podcasting in London is very clicky.
I feel like maybe because I don't really call myself a podcaster, so I've never really tried to be. I don't really know who's the who's who.
Okay,
in podcasting.
Okay.
I know there's a there's different ones, obviously debate ones after receipts and da, 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 da. But
I feel when I say click it, I feel like it's like the ones at the top have just stayed at the. When I say top, in terms of the ones everyone talks about, do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's for other podcasts to come and also be well known and be in the front face, you almost have to compromise what you initially started out to do. And I'm just so grateful that we have not done that.
Exactly,
to my sisters. Why I admire them so much, because they have not done that.
Mm.
But they are creating their own lane. They're not trying to fit into any mold of, you know, and I absolutely love that. I just think, yeah, they're amazing. But thank you. That means a lot.
It does.
Because podcasting is not easy. Like,
it's not easy, Sha.
There have been times. You know, right? How many times in the group chat have we said, if it wasn't three of us, we probably would have ended by now.
Hey,
just, you know,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. So, no, thank you.
I appreciate
so you said you regret writing your book.
Yeah. Do you know what? I wrote that book when I was 18.
Mm.
I just come out of a very toxic relationship. Wow. I was just come out of a suicidal place as well. And I remember having a mentor at the time who said to me, listen, like, no one's going to listen to your story unless you write a book.
Mm.
That's the only way that you're going to basically become a valid person.
Right.
So in the time that I was meant to more or less be recovering and look focused on my mental health, I was writing a book. And for me, I wrote it for validation. I wanted to come and now prove to my ex and all the people that stopped doubting me. It's kind of like, yeah, I was once a speaker, but now I'm an author. Mm. Chat to me nice.
Yeah.
And I just done it for the wrong, I done it for ego.
Yeah.
I done it for ego, so. I've actually, for probably about 4 years, I've never read my book.
Wow.
Okay. I don't even have a copy in my house. Wow. I don't even promote it. I don't, like, I put there that I'm an author,
but
I don't actually promote it or anything like the that book, because it's just not a reflection of where I am right now in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm one person that, just for the sake of integrity, I don't push something that I no longer feel aligned to my values.
Mm.
I'm really trying to detach myself a lot from ego, because it's just so easy for you to feed into that narrative of just, I'm that girl. Don't get me wrong, I am that girl.
Yes.
But I'm that girl because of peace, because of God, because of God. Like, it's not. And don't get me wrong, at the time, I was new. When I was writing the book, I wasn't saved just yet. I was newly saved.
Mm. Okay.
So, when I started promoting the book and stuff like that and pushing it, it just got to a point when I was just kind of like, why am I doing this?
Mm.
And then when I realized I didn't have an answer, that's when I was like, start the cameras.
Yeah. I love that you're self-aware enough to realize that, you know, you did that out of retaliation and that's no longer who you are.
Yeah.
And that's even something that, remember we mentioned yesterday when we were saying, what could we discuss? What could we ask you about? It was integrity. You know, how have you been able to maintain that integrity, because you are someone that I definitely feel like has integrity, which a lot of people don't. They just kind of do things maybe for validation or do things because that's a trendy thing to do. But how have you maintained that, like, in your journey so far?
That's so good.
Yeah. How have you?
I would say my faith, 110%.
Yeah.
I do feel sometimes, you know, having the reverence of God in your life will impact you drastically.
Mm.
Whether you have faith or not, just being a moral, grounded person will help you. So I feel like my faith allows me to have certain morals, which has helped me. My mom's a very, like, moral-driven woman. So is my brother. My brother's Muslim.
Okay.
But still, he's, like, you know, he's got a lot of morals that allow me to just live my life, like, morally, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Number two, I definitely would say my fiancé. He's the most integral man I know.
Wow.
Listen, I'm his biggest fan. And I wouldn't be the woman I am today if it was not for him.
Mm.
He came into my life and literally upgraded me.
Wow.
And I give him credit for that, because before that I was very this independent woman. I didn't want to listen to anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I think a lot of people think because I'm this independent person offline, online. Mm. I mean, some people used to assume that I wouldn't, like, be able to submit to him or wouldn't be able to listen to him. Like, no, just because he's not a loud person doesn't mean that behind the scenes that, you know, he has to fight me. Like, I trust his heart for my heart.
That's it.
So whatever he decides, I'm like, cool, we're going with it.
I love that.
So I think that's the most integrity. Because I remember, I think when we were first going out, I can't remember. I think I was running late somewhere, and I just said to him, yeah, I've done a little white lie. I said to him, just say we're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, we're not though.
I said, that's a man.
We're stuck in traffic. You couldn't tell him there was stuck in traffic. Because I can't remember what we was running late for, but when he came and said to me, but we're not stuck in traffic.
Mm.
I was like, wow, you're, like, really integral. Like, and it just, I remember, I'll never forget that moment. I just got checked so differently and I just thought, well, I want to get to that level. That if I'm running late, let me own it.
Let me own
why I'm late. Not that I'm stuck in traffic or whatever. So that was that level. And I think the third one, which you're aware about, is my excellence girls. The girls that I mentor. Because at the end of the day,
my sister's one of them, FYI.
Well, Mary Grace is my mentor. She's my mentor. But one of the things I definitely would say is that when you have girls that are coming up after you, more than anything, I want them to remember that character will keep you in the room. Mm. Your skills and your talents will get you there, but character will always make you stay there. Mm. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is that a noble name is greater than riches. There came a time in my life where my only focus was making money. Money, and I've seen money in this life. Or more, I've seen money in this life.
She said, or more.
But
in it, or more.
I'm half Nigerian a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know the ones that you're going, Nigerians. Yeah. I've got Nigerian spirit.
You know what? Yeah, Nigerians. We're so influential that honestly, even if you're not Nigerian, you'll begin to be Nigerian.
Yeah, I know. Omo Jai Jai. But in terms of like, when you have people around you, like I remember when, I remember having a conversation of them in a call, and I said to them, like, sometimes I think twice when I'm about to do something. Let's say, for example, there's a mess up situation. I always think like, okay, if I'm to mess up, okay, cool. The first person obviously I tell is God. Second person, my fiance. Obviously, it would be my friends and my family, but there's certain things that if anything happens to me, I think it would break them too.
Mm.
If you know what I mean, like, say for example, like. This ain't going to happen. But let's say, for example, obviously, I'm practicing celibacy. Let's say, for example, I get pregnant before my wedding day. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell my girls I'm pregnant.
But
you told us that this is what you would, do you understand? Yeah. And I think it's having that, they don't realize that they're my level of account. They're a different level of accountability for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to, a lot of the things that I'm saying to them offline, they have to be able to see that. And I think, for me, they're the ones, not just my excellence girls, but the girls that I mentor offline, they're the ones that keep me in check, and they don't even realize it.
I love that.
Because I need, and I want them to also, especially in a hyper-visible world,
yeah,
where everyone's just kind of like, showcase what you're doing, showcase your skills and your talents, but no one talks about character. No one talks about being morally driven. No one talks about
being kind.
Having values. Yeah, being kind.
Kindness, all these things. You know,
And I'm like, no, I can't ever be that person that, like, one of my biggest fears, I'll get to a place in my life where I'm going to have, okay, the accolades, the money, but then those around me were just going to be like, Hayley doesn't have time for me. She don't check in on me.
Yeah, no.
She don't do that. And that is a scary place to be. Mm. It's a scary place to be where you'll achieve many, many things, but you won't have community around you. I definitely would say it's the girls, the friends as well that I have, the community I have around me definitely helped me. Stay integral.
How do you, I mean, because you are quite visible, and you know, you've got a community, not just like, you know, excellent girls, but you've got like several communities of people who might look up to you or like look at your journey and have followed you for a while. How do you, I mean, have you ever felt pressure, I suppose, 100%. To kind of still be integral, still have your face, still kind of keep it together in a way? Like, do you still feel that pressure because people are, I guess, still looking at you and still maybe have a certain expectation?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. There can be pressure sometimes, man. Hey.
I can imagine. Because I'm sure you're also active in church, right? I think I saw that you're... or maybe not as much, but I just know...
Yes. I left my church last year. Prior to the church that I was in, I was a pastor.
That's the last I remember of.
So I left my church. I left my church last year.
Okay.
And but for me, it's basically being able to understand that ministry doesn't come with a title.
Mm.
Ministry comes with if you meet me and you don't know I'm Christian, can you still see Christ?
That's it. And again, it boils down to character.
Don't know, I'm telling you right now, my brother's Muslim, but my brother has shown me Christ more than many Christians I've met.
Wow. That says a lot.
I think it's very easy to kind of be like, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. Blah, blah, blah. And I'll be honest, like, even when I was running, and I'm sure some of my girls wouldn't mind me sharing this, even when I was running my fellowship when I was in Kent, the girls that were under my leadership, I hurt a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left my church, I sat down with every single one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't leave for those reasons, but I felt for self-awareness and for the conviction of what I felt at the time. I sat down with every single one of the girls that were under my leadership. I sat down with them and I said, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that you went through that. I'm sorry that I put you through the pressures of doing certain things. And I just said to them, I'm sorry that I cared more about the ministry more than your soul.
Right.
I cared more about, let's get people saved, let's do this, let's outreach, let's do evangelism, more than actually checking in on you and saying, how can I pray for you? How can I support you?
That is massive to be able to self-reflect.
Christ Christ does that, you know. Yeah. I think when you really actually encounter Christ, not Christianity, but when you actually really encounter Christ, it's meant to be, he's meant to be a mirror. Yeah. The word is actually meant to be a mirror.
Yeah.
And I felt like at that moment, I never wanted to be, you know, church is a real thing. Church is a real thing.
I've seen stories. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. It's a very real thing that not enough people talk about. And I feel like nowadays, though, people are starting to become braver, which I love.
To speak out.
And speak out about it, because it's almost taboo.
Right.
Like, oh, my pastor's perfect. I can't say anything bad about my pastor or church. You can't say anything about men of God. And my fiancé challenges me on that all the time. He's like, Shade, they are men just like you and me. They are a human. Exactly. They're not gods. Like, remember that. Like, he is... he does not have it when it comes to stuff like that.
Sterling's very much the same, actually. Yeah. He's actually the person that, he's the person that opened my eyes a lot to a lot of things that I was more or less facing at the time that I wasn't aware of. And I think for me, the one of the reasons why I sat down with a lot of those girls is because I would hate to be part of their church stories. And it's so easy as a human being to just, you don't realize it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people who've hurt me in ministry. They'll, you know, but there's some people I've hurt. I'm not going to be this type of person to be like, oh, I'm victim mode. I don't believe in victim mode. Right. I believe in being able to own up to where you've contributed as well. Because I do believe there's always two sides to a story. Mm-hmm. So as much as it's kind of like, yes, they were victim and yes, I was victim. It's kind of like, okay, well, the only thing I can do, the best thing I could do is actually sit down and apologize for where I've contributed to your hurt.
Yeah.
And I just always said to myself, I didn't want to ever be part of somebody's story as to why, I guess, they diminished their gifts or they closed down their gifts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of gifted people who are in the world right now. And the reason, you know, from Beyonce to Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, they all started in a church.
Yeah.
But
who
knows why they left the church? Yeah. They might have left the church because of the hurt.
Yeah.
And imagine if they just had one person come and say, I'm actually really sorry that I hurt you there.
Mm.
Maybe Beyonce would be releasing gospel albums. We don't know.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
Imagine different Beyonce. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I think about that often. And it's like, oh, with Beyonce's talent, imagine she was doing gospel.
Do you get?
And I know quite a few people personally that have left RCCG, which is the church I'm part of, because they didn't feel supported in their gifts. Now they're paying for like Burner Boy or they're doing all these other things. If they're still, maybe they're still Christian, I don't really know, but they're not as grounded in the church anymore because they just didn't feel that support. And that church hurt is so, so, so real.
I think, you know, churches as a whole, and I mean this like for the entire body of Christ, is we have to get to a place where we stop focusing on the building and we start focusing on the bricks.
Yeah.
We start focusing on the individual. Because the building is kind of like, let's protect the building, protect the leaders, the protect the man, protect the brand. But it's like the souls. You know, Jesus cares for your soul. Like that's something that I've learned in this past year of everything that I've kind of faced just leading up to my wedding day. God cares for your soul.
Yeah.
And I think if, you know, I don't think people doubt whether God's real or not. I think people doubt if God loves
them. Yeah.
I don't think people doubt if he's real. People know that he's real.
Yeah.
Look, whenever something happens, the hashtag is pray for Somalia, pray for Iran, pray for Afghanistan.
No, it's true.
Okay, so
it's
if you don't believe in God, why are we praying?
Yeah.
They're always saying praying, so like, true. God bless. Like, this is something that people are always saying. They know that there's a God. They know there's a higher power. But it's the doubt as to whether God loves, because we as his children, realistically, are we that loving? You know, even like yesterday, unfortunately, we saw that Kevin Samuels passed away. Whether you agree with his stuff or not, that God doesn't even rejoice when we pass away.
Yeah.
God hates death. How would we ever rejoice? Even God.
I didn't like that. Remember we were discussing it. That was disgusting. Like horrible. No matter what you disagreed with, agreed with, you're not going to agree with everyone. A death is a death. And I just thought that was so evil.
Yeah.
People it's final. You can't be rejoicing in someone's death.
And that's someone's son. That's someone's family member. Like even the fact that his mom came on, said to NBC that she found out through Twitter. She found out through social media.
My goodness.
Oh my God.
So you can imagine you're finding out your son's passed away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this people are making jokes on top of that.
You get? And I thought to myself, that's disgusting. Like, you lot are, we've become so detached to humanity. I guess, like, we forget that everyone's human being. We all have emotions. Like, no one's perfect.
That's
No one's perfect. Whether you're a church, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're Hindu, we're literally all trying to navigate life. We're all trying to find ourselves in the process of it. Like, the women that we are now are not going to be, it's not going to be the same women that we are when we're 40.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you understand that everyone's still finding themselves. Mm. So yeah. Even whether that's your pastor who's in his 40s or whatever, he's still finding himself. He's not going to be the same person when he is 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to just extend grace as people grow.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, definitely. I love that. So to shift the gears a bit, I was just thinking comparison, because I know that's something I struggle with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Comparison, whether it's this girl's hair is nicer than mine, this girl's wedding venue is nicer than mine.
Ooh, don't get her started, speech.
Oh, gosh. This girl's, I don't know, her Instagram is more popping than mine. Her video got more likes. How do you... And it might be something that you struggle with. We all do to an extent, but how do you maintain that laser focus? Because it is hard.
Yeah.
Like you said, all people do is scream about their accolades and how much they've achieved and what they've done. So how do you maintain that laser focus? Because I struggle.
No, I struggle too, actually, if I'm being honest. I think it's really important to have anchoring voices around you.
Yes.
So like my best friend's one of them, my fiancé. Friends I have around me are very anchoring voices, just friends that just remind you where you're meant to be, what you're called to do, who you're called to be.
Yeah,
I think that's number one. Number two, sometimes just being able to come off your phone.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's so
happy visibility
important.
Is actually killing my people. The way people are too hyper visible, and I think there's the benefits of it in terms of yes, you get shown more opportunities and you expand your network, but there's also the other side of it, which is kind of like people no longer understand depth anymore. They never understand perspective. They see things and think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they need to remember that social media is a mirage. Like everything that people are posting is not necessarily true. So it's being able to also understand that I can't compare my offline life to something I see online.
That's it.
You can't compare you can actually not compare your offline life. Like something that's happened, I haven't shared before. My wedding dress is I love my wedding dress. Mm. I remember even it was the fifth wedding dress I wore when I out of the dresses I was trying on. Out of all the dresses, no one had stopped shop me. No one in the shop stops me.
Yeah.
And said anything. But the fifth dress, I remember everyone in the shop was like, wow, this is your dress. Like this amazing. Dress is beautiful. It's not different. I wouldn't say it's different, but it's got what do you call it? Like a color of nude at the top. So for me, I was just thinking, no, I just want it all white. It's not. So for me, it's kind of like, no, I want the all white, like da da da. And I remember looking at it thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I should just done an all white dress and stuff like that. But then I just said to myself, like, hells, like, you never saw yourself getting married. Like you never saw yourself. I never saw that. I never saw that day coming. So I remember even when it came to the dress and the girls were like, what type of dress you want? I was like, I don't know. Yeah, they were kind of like, what dress do you want? Do you want an A-line dress? I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I remember going through so many different people's wedding dresses. And even now, like, I'm seeing different managers. I'm like, oh gosh, maybe I should have got that dress. Maybe I should have got this. Maybe I should have got that. Maybe
my
dress
is good enough. We're going to talk about that.
And I've had to just tell myself, like, hells, like, the dress doesn't make you, you make the dress.
That's it.
The energy, the poise, the how you carry yourself on the day.
Yeah.
That obviously as well, we have to take in the makeup, the hair. We haven't it done all of that. Together, it all comes together. So obviously the dress alone, even if it's the plainest thing, your hair, your makeup, the vibe, your energy, the day, that is what's gonna make up for it.
I love that.
I had to just tell myself that constantly, because especially when you're in wedding planning mode. It's just so easy to look at. It's just so easy to look at certain things and just be like, oh, like, why didn't I get this? Or why didn't I get this food? Or what did...
Trust me. But, and you'll just be so confused. Like, similar story to my wedding dress. I got a wedding dress as well. I bought it.
Yeah.
It's very simple, but the style I wanted, but I'm getting like some stuff done.
Yeah.
So because it's shop bought, obviously they have multiple. So I remember a couple of months ago, I saw a bride. She had the exact same dress. I said, Jesus. I took a screenshot, showed my mom, like, I was panicking, like, oh my gosh, mom, she has the same dress as me. Should I get another one? Like, my mom was just like, Shade, calm down. You're doing stuff to it. It will look different. Don't worry. She just said, and again, that's anchoring voices, because I was in panic mode. And I feel like the indecisiveness that kicks in when you're wedding planning and you're comparing and thinking, oh, but she's probably going to look better. Or, but will people remember that and think, oh, do you know what I mean? So, anchoring voices is
100%.
It helps so much. It brings you back down to reality.
Yeah.
Same thing with tried outfits. I saw a girl and I absolutely loved it. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have done this style. Mine is too plain. Mine is too this. And you just get confused.
Yeah.
You'll get yourself confused and worked up and stressed and mm-hmm. all. And
I think it's also about knowing what you want as well. So yes. let's say with the wedding and seeing other, you know, people's wedding and thinking, oh, maybe I should have done that. Really and truly, it's not what you originally wanted. Yeah. It's what other people want and what you don't want, whether it's in wedding or even like career-wise for me. What I'm trying to do even now actively is not mold my career in terms of like how other people's careers are. Because at the end of the day, I mean, yes, I can copy, but is it truly what I want? Is it truly who I am as a person? So I think even with the wedding stuff, think about what do you want? What is your style?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get lost in other people's sort of styles and what they would have wanted for your wedding it's yours at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So if you like that dress, get the dress. If you like that style, that's fine. If someone else has it, okay, cool. You just share some similar style.
Yeah.
It's
and that's
fine.
The thing with hypervisibility. It exposes you to the opinions that are so unnecessary.
Right.
Like, you know, there's so, like, I remember when we got engaged, it was just after Love Island.
Okay.
And I remember people making comments about Tyler and Kaz.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they were like, huh? Is this Tyler and Kaz? So, I remember a lot of people were, like, quote tweeting, like, Tyler and Kaz. This is like, the tweet is Tyler and Kaz. And I was like, God forbid.
There was different.
There was a lot of weird comments like that. And I was thinking to myself, like, you lot are weird. Like, honestly, like, I've just encountered the best thingy of my life. You guys are just diminishing it to Love Island.
Please, we are more than that.
Right. And it was just, and I remember even like, say for example, like the other day, Sterling must have tweeted something on Twitter and he was like, can't wait to make Black Babes this beautiful black woman or something like that.
That
right?
was the cutest
Someone
thing.
Quote tweeted that and oh, called him
always
a simp.
Be someone.
Called him a simp.
Because of what?
Because he wants to have the baby.
Girl, don't feel bad. Don't call Sierra husband.
That's what I'm going to say. Call Sierra as well.
Because do you know what it is? I feel like people have a lot of bitterness in them.
I think people struggle to see someone show love.
Exactly. People genuinely, it's like a shock to them to see a man actually showing love to his wife.
And truly, that's what they want for themselves. Yeah. They want their man to
It's rooted in bitterness.
I don't take it. To be honest, I saw it and I laughed. And I just thought to myself, like, we're so used to in society seeing, you know, Kim Kardashian has run through 4 different marriages.
Yeah.
It's not to call her out, but that's the person.
Yeah, no, it's the truth.
But we're so used to kind of seeing people run through marriages, pick them up and drop them down, where we're actually forgetting the sacredness of building with somebody for life.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing. Like, it's not. So there's sometimes I lay in my bath, I'm just like, yeah, I'm about to marry this man for the rest.
It's not a 10-year contract. It's not even a 30-year contract.
It's not like you look at it and be like, okay, all right, sir. Bye. Like, you actually have to think about, you know, what you're committing to. You're building with somebody. And also, this is going to be, you know, I'm marrying my husband to be on the basis of the fact that I know he's going to be an amazing father.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different, I'm logically marrying him as well. It's not just because I think he's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
I look at him and I'm just kind of like, can I actually grow with you? Can I become a better person with you?
Yeah.
And I think some people, unfortunately, especially as I said, hypervisibility, where people kind of like, I want a 6-foot dark skin, light skin, whatever they want.
Yeah.
People are picking their partners according to also what society is saying that you need in a man, which doesn't make any sense. I think it's super important that with everything you're looking to do in a relationship, like, you have to have your values. Like, what do you want in a relationship? What are you looking to? How are you looking to grow? What are you guys looking to build? And if that is what you see in your partner, go for it. Not what social media is telling you to go for and et cetera, et cetera.
That's it. I love that. And again, it's maintaining that laser focus. I'm in this for my own reason. Yes. I know why I said yes to my man proposing to me, you know. Because it's just so easy that you can always compare. There'll always be someone taller. There'll always be a man that's more handsome. But is he kind?
Yeah.
Can he lead? Does he fear God? Mm. One of my things was, I need a man that fears God, his own relationship with God. Mm. Of course, we can grow in God together. But I desired someone that can lead me in Christ. Because you don't see that. You don't see that. It's very rare.
I asked for that exact same thing. You know, I honestly feel that, gosh, when I think about my fiance, I think he's honestly the not even just the most integral man, but he's the most honest man of God I've met.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, and I've
he actually lives because I know he creates content to do with the gospel. He lives that.
I'll be very honest with you. In terms of the celibacy journey, he's the most, he's the more disciplined one than I am.
Wow.
I'm not like, babe, just come and just lift me. Because we haven't kissed.
Oh, really?
No, we haven't kissed.
You are better than me. I don't know. How?
No, trust me. I want to lips his. I want to lips him. Oh. I want to lips you like all the time. I want to start saying, just give me a kiss. Like, quickly, Even when I got engaged, I whispered to him. I was even whispering to him when I was engaged. just a quick one. Not even for the camera. Like, just do a quick one.
Was that initially like a mutual?
Yeah, decision, so at the time, my pastor at the time, we had a, and his current pastor is, they had like a whole meeting and stuff, and they were like, because they were, I don't want to say they were quite worried, but because we were very close friends, but where we were in ministry was, I was leader of my church, he was the leader in his church, so it was very much kind of like, if we were to go through heartbreak, it doesn't just impact our hearts, it will impact the ministry. Do you understand? Wow. So it was kind of like,
pressure.
These, like, you just has to be taken seriously. So we had like, I don't want to say rules or whatever, but we had conversations where it's kind of like, this is things that we would adhere to for a few months. Or so initially it was kind of like, okay, we wouldn't kiss, we wouldn't do this, and at first I was just kind of like, I don't know, like, this is too deep, like, we're just like, this is thing. But now when I look back at it, it's not that I entirely agree with it, but it's helped me build discipline.
Of course.
It's helped me build a lot of discipline. And for me, like, you know, when I was a bit younger, unsaved, like, I used to lips a lot of boys. So I just lipsing people over the gaff. when I was in secondary school, I'd just be lipsing people, linking being lipsing.
Yeah, yeah.
So for this to be the first person I've been with that I haven't kissed, it's just kind of like, wow, I really love you.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually about to marry you. And I've never even, you know, done something that I actually love doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also, we've also talked about how, like, that also could lead to, you know, more sexual stuff. And it just kind of obviously to withdraw from that. And yeah, so that's what I mean in terms of he's the most honest man of God. He definitely makes me want to be a better, like, Christian. It's just easy to kind of be with somebody who, you know, yeah, if they compromise their faith, you're more likely to compromise yours as well.
And so, I love that you're both on the journey together.
Yes.
Because it will be so difficult if you were like, okay, let's be celibate, and then he wasn't on it. Do you know what I mean? So it's good that you're both aligned, you're both agreeing. And I mean, your wedding is so soon. So girl, you're coming to look forward to.
I'm looking forward, girl. I'm ready.
How are you feeling now, like, in terms of the planning and just
Well, obviously, as you guys know, I just came back from my solo trip. Now I'm a bit more calm. I think before that, I was like literally like nearly at breaking point. I was just kind of like, I was like, if I don't, it's either I'm going to take drugs or go on Monday. I was talking to my friend yesterday. She said something. It was so funny. She was saying, listen, Hayley, see if I go on holiday, I sniff crack. And I was like, you know what? I hear it. I started laughing, but I actually hear it. It's either you have to take coke, or you have to go on holiday. So I said, okay, coke, I'm not going to do that. Holiday. But yeah. I think I'm definitely way more like calm, more at peace. I think the most important thing is being able to understand that you're building with somebody.
Mm.
Like, the wedding day is a day. And the thing is that I don't care whether this is cocky for me to say or whatever. Listen, one thing about me, I'm putting an experience. My wedding's going to be an experience.
Come on.
I'm sure my sisters are all about it.
Because at heart, I'm an events girl.
Okay.
So with me, even though, and I'm very, I know what I want. So I'm very much kind of like, yeah, this has to get patterned. Okay, the guests are going to be like this. And I remember the first time with my wedding planner, they were like, what do you want your guests to experience? I was like, I want them to have an experience. Yes. I want every single person to feel like VIP. Every single person to feel like, wow, like, I feel listened to. I feel catered to.
Yeah.
So for me, with the wedding day, I think the reason I was so stressed out is because for me, I want things a particular way.
Yeah.
So that's when I was just kind of like, you know what, hell, it's like, it's not about the day. Yeah. Like, I had to let that go and be like, it's not about the day.
That's one thing I've learned in planning. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go your way.
Yeah.
Even if you get every single detail to the T down, something will go wrong. It's just something that I've had to just accept.
Yeah.
I'm just it's life. It will happen. And if you start panicking over the little things, it gets out of control.
One of my biggest fears, and I'm saying this to Sterling, is I would hate to get to the old time where burnt out. So that's why I had to take myself away, because there's a lot of people that get to the altar and they are tired because of just the lead up, the burnout and all that stuff, you know. So that's why even today, this season, I've just kind of said I'm protecting my heart. Anyone can get it at this point. You'll get blocked if you try me.
Yeah. Don't try me. I saw your story I was like, yes, I get it. It really does get like that.
Bro, like this is the biggest shift I'm about to encounter in my life. Yeah. This is honestly like this moment of my life, I'm never going to have this again.
Mm.
Like I'm never going to have this moment again where you're building up to be a wife.
Yeah.
Mm. So anyone that is going to disrupt my peace in this time,
cut them off.
Yeah.
You can really family, no family, whoever you were to me,
yeah,
cut it. I'm so sorry. And I think it gets to the point where it's not even that I'm being selfish, I'm just being protective of my love. Because one of the worst things you can do, and I've spoken to so many wives about this and wives to be, I think one of the worst things you can do is enter into your marriage when you're burnt out, broken, bitter,
tired, angry.
It puts so much toll onto something that's meant to be so beautiful. Mm. So for me, I just think, I have to protect that. I have to protect us. I have to protect me for the sake of us. I have to protect him for the sake of us. I have to protect us for the sake of us and our kids.
Yeah,
I love that. So it's being able to look at the bigger picture. So that's why at this point, I've had to tell myself, Hells, take time, chill out.
Cool down. Love that. What's been the best part of wedding planning though? Like, what are you really enjoying?
Ooh, what's been the best part? I think it's my bridesmaids, you know. They make me laugh. Like our group chat, they make me laugh. My bridal party, definitely. Like, we even had like a link up with the groomsmen.
Yeah.
And the thing, we had like a games night. We played Mafia. Got so heated.
It's like
I definitely would say like the synergy between the bridal parties is so important. And I'm just so happy that the bridal party get on.
I love that.
That was definitely the most important thing. And just my bridesmaids as well, like just having conversations with them and just being able to look at a lot of them and just being like, wow, you lot are my sisters for life.
Oh, for real.
Because one of my biggest fears was falling out with any of my bridesmaids. It happens.
It happened to me. I'll share with you.
It does happen, but for me, it's sisterhood over bridesmaids.
Yeah.
You lot are my sisters, not my bridesmaids.
Mm. Yeah.
But you're my sisters becoming my bridesmaids. But you're gonna go back to my sisters after.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
So it's been because I've had some of my bridesmaids I had to swap out. For different reasons, but they're still my sisters.
Mm.
Like one of my bridesmaids that I swapped out, she's still seeing me down the aisle.
Oh,
one of my bridesmaids that I swapped out, she was actually due the day before my wedding.
Oh, like pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then it's kind of one of those things that's kind of like the type of way I'm going to get you guys to be dancing, energy.
Yeah.
With baby, I don't want to.
Let's be wise.
So we swapped her out as well. And it's not, as I said, it hasn't been a thing of like, oh, like, is there any pasta? Nah, like, it's literally all good vibes. Yeah. But yeah, definitely like the bridesmaids and bridal party.
How many do you have?
7.
Okay.
How many do you have?
10, but okay. One can't make it anymore, so 9 now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, 9.
Okay. That's good.
Yes. Still and Sam has 10 groomsmen. So one of you will be walking with two. One girl will be walking with two guys.
With two guys. Yeah. Okay.
No, but you can still do it. No. No, sorry, this is me going thingy. You can still do it in a way where he walks in with his best man.
But, okay. No, but my sister's walking with me. And my sister's one of them. So that will then make 8 and 9.
So he can walk down with two guys. Man.
As in,
he can walk down in the middle and he walks with two guys.
Do you know what? I actually saw that the other day.
Yeah, it happens.
Look at Hayley, the planner.
Thank you. Maybe I need to be talking to you more, Hayley, you know, because there's a lot of little things. Girl, I was like,
we have brides to be together, honey. Exactly. That's what I'll be messaging you. I'll be like, that's a great idea. Any way that can help.
Yeah.
If I'll be coming to you, don't worry. And I even need you on my blog as well, so don't worry.
Yes. No,
definitely be there. So you just start, tell us more about it.
Yeah. My journey to wifehood.
Yeah. I love it so far.
Thank you. I literally said it. It's the rawest. How do you say that word?
Rawest.
Yeah.
It's a very odd word.
Yeah. It is a very odd word. It's the rawest version of me that you will ever find on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly speaking, the amount of engagements, and I mean, I've literally even like yesterday, I saw like 3 different people get engaged. 2 of the girls that I personally know.
I saw you.
And I just thought to myself, like, a lot of us have grown up in an era where a lot of us were very, very independent.
Mm.
A lot of us come from, some come from single parent households, some obviously our mums were independent or whatnot and stuff. And I just think sometimes it's just so easy to be like, okay, like, just to build in a way that you don't consider a man or you don't consider a family unit. So it's just being able to share my process of unlearning. So realistically, it's to not even just to cater to any like anyone that just wants to get married. It's more for anyone that is willing to check their areas of, you know, growth, vulnerability, and just being able to anybody that is willing to break out of their individual mindset and go more into collectivism, because I think the world is becoming more toxic the more that we promote individualism.
Right.
Collectivism is a very powerful thing. Like, I was even talking about the fact that, you know, when we were younger, we had so many babysitters because collectivism was so rich in our culture. So many of us came from, yes, our parents came from African countries, and even though, yes, they came into an individual a country that promoted individualism, collectivism was still in our heart. So there's many people at my wedding that, you know, I haven't seen them for years, but they raised me. They raised me. So it's kind of like, I'm not going to miss you out, auntie, because you were at a pivotal point in my life. And I just want that to still be the thing. I want to be able to create a sisterhood, sisterhood, should I say, where, you know, when we have kids and stuff, like, okay, cool, even if you can't go to your mom, if you can't go to your brothers and stuff, you can still go to someone thingy, and then the thing continues. I would love to be at my friend's, you know, my friend's child's wedding one day, because I was a part of raising them because of collectivism. Community is so important, and literally every single time I share something, especially even on my blog or on my Instagram story, anything to do with wedding planning or whatever, so many people come up to me that, like, we can relate. And I think the more that, I guess, we're open about things we're going through, we allow people to actually feel, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in this too.
That's it.
Because sometimes it can feel lonely. It can feel like the process is lonely. You start thinking to yourself, wow, like, did I make a mistake? Or is this or this that? Because there's been a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of mistakes that I've made in this time, but this has been the growing pains. That's the best I can say. It's been the most, as much as it's been the most beautiful process of my life, it's also been the most painful. Gratitude and grief is the best way to explain. It's been the best way to explain, I guess, this season. I'm grateful, but I'm also grieving. I'm grieving relationships that I've lost. Grieving the woman that I used to be. I'm grieving mindsets that I used to have. I'm grieving relationships that are about to shift. I mean, I'm moving out with my mom. It's only me and my mom that live together. I'm her youngest baby. So I'm going through that process of grieving. But I'm also going through that process of gratitude. I'm about to walk into a new family. I'm about to grow with my husband to be like, so it's bittersweet, you know? So
Love that. So to end, we're just going to round up now. What realistic advice would you give to brides to be like myself? Got a month left. What you said about the groomsmen thing makes so much sense. Like, so much sense. But yeah, any realistic advice for...
I think if I'm speaking to myself, I speak to myself when I'm saying this, is just don't lose yourself in the process. Like, a great marriage... is a great marriage will be because you are going to be a great wife, a great individual. And you can't, we can't change our partners. The only thing we can do is change ourselves. We can't change our bridesmaids. What we can do is be like, just be everything you want everyone else to be to you, if that makes any sense. I think that's something I'm constantly learning. Don't lose yourself. And number two, God, man, don't lose your eyes on God. God is so faithful. And if you don't believe in God, start believing in him.
That's the best thing you can say, because now you will need him. You will actually need him.
You have to. And and also the third thing is protect your environment. Have good people around you. Because your bridesmaids and your literally your environment has the power to break or make your day, or make your process. Should I say? So for me, I'm just becoming so protective of, like, I'm bringing the ones who are real in closer and those who ain't, that's just there. So it's like, I have like security guards. Like, I have my people that I'm just literally like rolling with, like, all the time. I'm just like, yo, protect me from this energy, because
it's important.
I've got my people who are protecting me in this time. So
That's amazing advice.
This has been so thank good.
Thank you
so
much. Probably need a part two.
With Bianca, girl.
Bianca will be back literally in 12, 14 days. So we'll arrange a part two for sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for listening, guys. This has been an amazing episode. Let us know what you think. leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Hayley, thank you again for joining us. This has been fantastic. Amazing. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.